Good morning, church family. I just wanted to welcome you back. Thankful that we have the opportunity to gather here in this way. I see you out there wearing your pajamas, and hope that you don't get too comfortable in those so that when we come back to church, you think that it's okay just to bring those along with you. But thankful that you're there this morning, and thankful that I can share God's word with you. I'm going to be reading today from Psalm 115. I know that we've been in 1 John now for several weeks and even a few months, and just so happens this week that I just didn't kind of have the freedom to continue in that. There was just something else that came to the forefront, and I just wanted to preach from one of the Psalms. So I'm going to be reading from Psalm 115, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the name of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning around your word. Just ask God that you would strengthen us, remind us, Lord, that you are in the heavens, that you do whatever you please, and that we are to be a people who live to bring glory and honor to our God and Savior. We love you and thank you for all that you are to us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, the governor and one of his news conference made a statement that was pretty shocking. I know that the numbers concerning the virus had started to improve, and I'm sure that he wanted to communicate some encouraging news to the people. But instead, he dishonored and dismissed his creator. And these are his words. He says, "The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. That's how it works. It's math." And I'm not here to make a political statement this morning. I know that comment could have been made by any politician out there during this time. And if it's not said by everybody else, surely there are a lot of people right now in our country that are thinking words along those same lines. But my concern this morning is for you and the way that you are processing everything that is happening in this pandemic, that you will continue to trust in the Lord no matter what happens or what has happened up to this point. And we should not be surprised as a people at the attitude that the world has in a time like this, because they say in their hearts, as it says here in verse 2, "Where is their God? Where is he in all of this?" Now they laugh, they scoff, and they wonder, or they try to make us wonder, where is your God in the middle of all these problems? And the temptation for God's people is to begin to think, kind of like they do, where is he then? What is he doing in the middle of all this? What I want you to have reaffirmed in your heart this morning is that our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. And whatever he pleases is always good. Always. Our God is not like us. He is not a creature. He is completely free in everything he does. Nothing can stop his hand from anything that he sets his mind to. He has not an ounce of evil in his being. He isn't controlled by jealousy. He isn't prone to fits of anger like you and I are. He is patient with those people that dishonor him. He is patient with the governor in the words that he said that day. He does whatever he pleases. And whatever pleases him is an infinite perfection. That's what our God is. I was on the phone with one of the older ladies in the church. And during the course of our conversation, the words that the governor had spoken that day came up. And her first response, just right off the bat, was this. She said, "What a testimony to the patience of God that he did not bring judgment on him right there in that moment." God did not feel the need right there like a human being might. He doesn't think like we do, doesn't respond like we do, but he didn't see the need right there in that moment to rain down judgment, defend his honor, or to reveal his power right there. Our God is in the heavens, and he is not controlled by the whims or the whispers of men. And I'm sure that you have thought or heard or read from all sorts of sources right now about what God may be doing during this time. There are a lot of things that are being said. He's bringing judgment on the nations. He's bringing judgment on our country. He's bringing judgment on the leaders or the church. He's starting the final events before the tribulation. He's drawing people back to him. All sorts of things are being said right now about what God very well may be doing in the world. But what I can assure you, that whatever it is that God is accomplishing during this time, it is beyond my ability and is beyond your ability to trace out completely. We are not able. His fingers are on everything. And his work goes far deeper than we could ever know. There are billions of details right now that God is weaving together into a perfect story. And this point in history is just one link in the chain of all the events that have taken place before this and all the events that are still going to come after this. This is just a small detail in the story of God that he is weaving together into a beautiful, beautiful thing in his divine plan. In my eyes, I can't work out his paths. I can't see them all clearly. Sometimes I wonder if I can see them at all. But I believe that God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. The words of this psalm were written more than 2,000 years ago. And the nations mocked the Lord back then. They dismissed him back then, just like they still do today. They say, "Where is your God? Where is he at in all of these things?" And they will always say things like this until the Lord Jesus comes back for his church. But what are you to do in the meantime? What are you and I supposed to do to ensure that we are living faithfully, rightly, during times like this as we wait for our Lord and Savior to come back for us? How are we supposed to live? And I think what we see is there in verse 1, we're given an answer. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory." Give glory to your name, God, through your people. That's to be our aim in everything we do, to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bringing him glory is one of those Christian catchphrases, isn't it? It's one of those things that we kind of throw out there and we say, but maybe we just think that everybody else knows what we're talking about when we say that we're made to bring him glory. And I think the most helpful way to understand it is, you know, from my perspective, is it's all about value. You bring glory to God when you show that he is your greatest treasure. He's your greatest treasure, the thing that you value the most. And if you've ever had a yard sale before, the things that are in the yard sale are valued less than the things that you have kept inside of your home. And if you could sell every one of your possessions except one, what would it be? If you sell everything else inside your house except one thing, what would be the thing that you would choose to keep? And the glory of that object, that one thing, is that it is your greatest treasure. It's the thing that you value above all else. There is something, brothers and sisters, that you live for above and beyond anything else. It drives you to think the way that you do, to decide or to make choices about things the way that you make choices, speak about things the way that you speak. You will not sacrifice it, though you would sacrifice everything else. What is that thing? It is supposed to be the glory of God, because as his people, we are to value him above and beyond all else. We are to value the name and the honor of the Lord. And so you exist to bring him glory, to show that he is your treasure. So how can you and I do that
in this time that we are living in. And I have got four ways that we can bring God glory during this time and this pandemic that we are in. Number one, we glorify God by praising Him for the skills that are in men. We glorify God by praising Him for the skills that are in men. Now, what's hidden from our governor's eyes is that God is the giver of man's gifts. All the good things that men can do in the world are a gift from the Lord. They have been distributed by an immensely skillful God. He is the skillful one. He possesses all the skills and He distributes them to mankind for their good. And so human technology, science, all the things that are being talked about right now that people are trying to develop or do in relationship to this virus, all of those things are not even the tip of the iceberg in the mind of the Lord. Not even scratching the surface on what He knows. And what a blessing that He has given us all that we have in this culture. We consider ourselves to be so advanced, so technological, so scientific, and all of those things that we know are just a little bit, a drop in the bucket of what our God possesses. And brash politicians give man glory for it all. God has cracked the door open for men to do research and understand the things in the world that He has made. Why? So that we would be able to see Him through it. So that we can see something of Him in the things that He has made. What does the psalm say? It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." What does it reveal knowledge of? Of Him. Reveals knowledge of Him. "And how vain of men to claim the glory for themselves as if they have done it, or if they have anything that they did not receive from His hand." All of it has come from Him. We should be giving Him praise for it. What does Romans chapter 1 say that the great downfall of man is? It says that we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So we are supposed to be able to perceive something of God and all the things that He has made, all the things that we handle, all the things that have beauty. They are supposed to direct us back to Him. And scientists have the privilege of examining the materials of God. The materials of God is craftsmanship, but yet they have the audacity to say in their hearts, "There is no God." Where is your God in all of this? So every effort by human beings at protecting and improving life during this time, they are under the watchful eye and the guiding hand of a loving God. He is behind it all. And any knowledge that these people have, or any knowledge that they develop, any technologies that come from this, are all from His skillful hand. And a right response from a child of God during this time is to thank those frontline workers, to thank every human being that is doing something right now to protect others, every person that is out there doing good, to applaud the leadership during this time for the difficult position that they are in, for the decisions that they are having to make. We are to pray for those people, even those people that you don't agree with, all those politicians that don't have views like yours. We are to pray for those people and to be thankful for those people for all the good that they are out there doing. But at the same time, to glorify God for His sovereign care and His complete understanding in everything that is happening and every gift that He has given to human beings to put to use during this time. So we praise them, we honor them, we give honor to whom it is due. But ultimately, the great praise underneath it all goes to our God who has distributed gifts to the children of men. That's the first way that we can glorify God, is by praising Him for the skills that are in men. Secondly, we will glorify God's name by trusting Him, not the numbers. Trusting God, not the numbers. And I have to imagine, if you're anything like me, that you have been more preoccupied with numbers during this time than you probably have at any point since you were in school. All the data that you've looked at, normally our lives are not that controlled by data and numbers, but they have been here lately. We hear things like today the cases are down. And then the next day we hear, well, the deaths are up. Numbers, predictions, odds, these things have dominated the news cycle and have dominated what has been on our minds now for 2 months. And I want to ask you, does your confidence, the way that you feel, does it go up and down based on what's being said at those news conferences or what is being brought to your smartphone in the form of data and information? Has that controlled what counts for you as a good day or an encouraging day or giving you a day of anxiety? The governor in that statement said, "It's just math. It's all about the numbers." But you know what? It's not all about the numbers for a Christian, is it? It's not about all the numbers. No matter what the numbers say today, no matter what the numbers say in the fall, or maybe sometime next year, God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. If the numbers go down, He's behind it for the good of His people. If the numbers go up, He's behind it for the good of His people. And we should be thankful when cases, when deaths drop. I think it would be a very strange thing, wouldn't it, if we were not thankful for that. But our hope remains in who the Lord is, in His character, who our God is, in His goodness, even in bad times. He is the sovereign. He's the King. Nothing happens apart from His command. And what a comfort it is to the Christian. What a comfort it should be to you. If you become a number, brothers and sisters, if you become one of the statistics, God is in it. He's in it for your good. I know there are some people in our church right now who have the virus, who have had the virus. And a comfort to us should be that our God is working an eternal weight of glory inside of His people through this light, momentary affliction that we are in. You will ultimately praise God for it. You will, because He is working it for your good. He is in the heavens, and He is doing whatever He pleases in you and through this virus for your good. And so we continue to trust in the Lord, not the numbers. He's in control of the numbers. Thirdly, we will glorify God by trusting in Him, not in our worldly leaders. We're going to glorify God by trusting in Him, not in our worldly leaders. And the Bible is clear. The Bible is clear that the Christian's duty in this world is to submit to government. It's our duty, because those leaders have been placed in authority over all of these people by God Himself. He put them there for our good, and it honors Christ when we honor the emperor. Not just the ones that we think are good, or not just the ones that we think are on our side, but we honor even the ones who scoff and say, "Where is their God?" But at the same time, as all of this has gone on, aren't you glad? Aren't you joyful that these men and women who lead in our government aren't ultimately in control? Aren't you thankful for that? For those who don't really know the Lord, how could they not panic during this time? How could they not be fearful when it's clear that so many officials, or really any of the officials, they don't know all of what's going on? They're not in control of anything. They can't make any predictions that will necessarily come true. They are not God. They don't have the information he has, and they do not have the character that he has. Aren't you thankful that our Lord is in control of this world and these people are not? When your hope is in the president or in that governor or in the next election cycle, you should live in fear. You should, because from your perspective, your life is in the hands of somebody who does not have a clue what they are doing in a complicated world like this that we are living in. They just don't. So my hope is not in them. My hope is in my God. Our God, his knowledge is complete. He sees everything from beginning to end. Every little piece of data, he knows it. Every person and where they are, he knows it. He knows where the virus is. Everywhere, right here at this moment. My hope's in him. He is good. He is sovereign. He is my king. He is precious to my soul. I know that he is in charge and he will always do what is right. And so I want to submit to the government as far as I am able when they are giving us directives for the good of the people. But ultimately, the Lord is my king. I am thankful that he is in control of this world. And a time like this should only make us sing more gladly with the psalmist who says, "Put not trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation." Don't put your trust in those government leaders. They don't deserve it. Not your complete trust. We submit to them, we honor them, but we trust in the Lord. We trust in him. And so aren't you thankful today for the character and the promises of God? Because only by his goodness and his grace have the leaders of men in this world not completely destroyed the human race. Only by God's grace and goodness are we still alive and able to function as a society, because evil human beings would have crushed it underfoot by now. But our God is good and he sustains life. He sustains life. He is unchanging and wise in all that he does. He is steadfast in his love, as this psalm says, and his faithfulness to his people. We put our trust in him. So not to us, O Lord, not to our government officials do we give glory. To your name do we give glory, O God. And so we glorify our God by trusting in him during this time, not in our worldly leaders. And lastly, we glorify God in this pandemic by continuing to serve him, though we cannot see him. And what I mean by seeing him, I don't mean that we cannot see a physical God. Obviously, that's true. We cannot see his form. But what I mean is that we cannot see what he is doing in every circumstance. So even though we cannot see everything that the Lord is up to right now, and we can't explain everything that is happening right now, we continue to trust him, and that brings glory to his name. A young child's favorite word, at least for a period of time when they're real small, is the word why. Why? You say that you're going to go here and do this? Why? Why? Everything's why. They want to know because they live in a world that is confusing to them. It's a world of wonder. In a world that is very difficult to understand. But even as adults, can't we say that we can relate to that? We always want to know why, too. We just don't always ask the question because we want people to think that we've got everything figured out. But we don't. The world scoffs and says here, verse 2, "Where is their God?" It doesn't seem like he cares. It doesn't seem like he has power. It doesn't seem like he exists. Where is he at work, they say? Where is your God? And so to the unbelieving eye, life is just a bunch of random experiences, a lot of random coincidences. To us, though, who believe, we wonder, why, God? Why is it that you're doing this? We know that you're behind it. What are you up to? But we know. We might wonder why, but we know that there is a God who is in the heavens. who does whatever pleases him. And what pleases him is what always brings him the most glory. We know that's what our God is doing right now. He is at work in this world through all sorts of things that are hidden to our sight. He is at work bringing himself maximum glory. So we can't always say that we understand why in every detail. I think it's sometimes to be very presumptuous to do so. But we can say that we know why he is at work like this in the big picture. He brings glory to himself. He brings honor to his name. And we exist to do the same thing. So that conversation that I had with that lady about the governor's comments, I said, I really wish that God had treated him like he did Nicodemus. And if you remember that story, what he did with Nicodemus when he looked out over all the land from his rooftop and said, you know, I have done all of these things, took glory for himself. What did God do to him? He made him like a beast of the field, to where he went out there and started chewing on grass, and his hair grew all long like an animal in the field. So I said, you know, God did that before. Now, wouldn't it have been something if in that moment that he had done it again? Why not now? Wouldn't that bring God glory to show the world if he had acted, you know, in a similar way, to show who ultimately is in control? But obviously, my mind is not like the Lord's. He doesn't need me to be his counselor. If that would have been what would bring him the most glory, God would have done it right there in that moment. He would have. But instead, God remained patient, and he gives common grace to the undeserving. He's willing to allow all those mockers to abuse his name for a period of time, but not forever. We live in a world where God acts in everything, but we barely see anything. He acts in everything. We see very little. But yet we trust him, don't we? We still trust him. We know him. We love him. Why? Because he loved us first. And he sent his Son to rescue us from our sins, from judgment that you and I deserved. He loved us. And he gave his life. The life comes and lives inside of our soul, and we know him and we believe in him. And when we read a psalm like this that says, our God is in the heavens, we know it. We can't see everything he's doing, but we know where he is. And we know that he has not turned a blind eye to the world that he has made. He is intimately involved in everything that is happening. He is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And everything that he pleases is for the good of his people. And faith clings to him. When we cannot detect all of his movements, but brothers and sisters, you and I still have a certainty that our God is orchestrating everything. What a comfort to my heart. And I hope that it is a comfort to yours. So I don't know much, but I know that God has called his people to live during this time, like all times, for his glory. To put him first. When the rest of the world laughs, when the rest of the world treats him like a punchline, we say with confidence that our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. In prosperity or in pandemic. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Amen.